This first prayer request is for Ryan Casey, 16-year-old young man who's dealing with brain cancer and several other life-threatening health issues. And then we want to pray for Dondi Johnson and his wife, Wendy, who have both had pneumonia and COVID, but Dondi has a worse case of pneumonia. And then we've been asked to pray for Nick Nagel, who is having surgery to fix his torn ACL today.
And I also want to pray and hold up Marisa Marjoram, a member of our congregation, who's fighting the good fight of faith against some illnesses in her body. And also Ivan Barrera, thinking about Ivan. Ivan has, he is literally a walking miracle of God, has received such amazing miracles in his life. But we know once again that he is fighting a good fight of faith against this attack on his body also. We're holding up Andrew Maples. Andrew Maples is a living testimony. I mean, the doctors literally thought he's going to pass away 2 weeks ago. He's about to get moved into a regular room after having battled COVID for 2 weeks, and not just COVID, but other complications. We also want to pray and just thank God. And if you're having troubles today, if you're struggling in any area in your life today, maybe you can hear my nose is stopped up. I'm struggling with just, I don't know what brought it on. Maybe because it's 65 one day and 15 the next. I don't know. But I can't find it anywhere in the Bible that says, well, I'll keep you healed unless a cold front comes. You know, I can't find it. So I'm resisting this. My ears are stopped, going shut on me even while I'm talking. You know what I think about that? I think by his stripes I am healed. And this whatever's affecting my sinuses and my ears, it's got to dissipate and go away. Amen? Because I'm trusting God. So, Father, we bring the prayer request before you for Ryan Casey. God, I know it breaks your heart. It grieves you. Even though it doesn't surprise you, nothing surprises you, Father. But I know that your heart of compassion grieves that this young man is going through this challenge. But, Father, I believe you have more than enough grace and comfort and peace and healing virtue to take care of this situation. We speak over Ryan Casey today. We come against cancer. We come against cancer in every form that's attacking any person, especially those who have faith in you, Lord Jesus. We declare that cancer has no right to the people of God. Father, we can read in your word what the manifestations of the curse were, and what the manifestations of the blessing are. And we read, Lord Jesus, that in your word you became a curse for us. In Galatians 3:13, you became a curse for us that the blessings might come upon us. So we receive blessing today for Ryan Casey. We come against everything that is affiliated and associated with the curse, including this cancer and other life-threatening issues. Father, we pray for Dondi Johnson. We pray, Lord God, for his wife, Wendy. Father, we are asking you for supernaturally quick and complete recovery from this attack against their bodies by COVID, pneumonia. We pray for Nick Nagel, who's having surgery to fix a torn ACL. We pray that everything would go just perfectly. That there would be a supernaturally quick recovery. Lord, I pray for someone this morning that's just having problems with their jaw, almost just feeling like the muscle in their jaw is trying to have a cramp or seize up on them. I pray, God, for that to just be relieved by the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for those that I mentioned, for Marisa, for Ivan, for Andrew. Father, for every person who is believing you for their healing, we get in agreement. And we call that healing forth out of the realm of heaven into the realm of earth, Father, and apply it right now. Pray for a release of your anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the people said, Amen.
Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here in the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma. They are our Facebook sponsor for today. Also, Joe Thompson, Crosscut Creations. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. and Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Elk City United Methodist Church is located on the corner of Country Club and Boone, across from the Big Red Barn. Sunday mornings, our celebration traditional service is at 9, Sunday school at 10, and our New Day contemporary service at 11. Worship services live stream on our website each Sunday at elkcityumc.com. There you will also find past messages, more information, and our calendar. And please like us on Facebook. Elk City Methodist Church, real faith for real life.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest this morning is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for today is Receiving the Promises.
Receiving them. Before you're going to receive them, you're going to have to believe them. You knew that was coming, didn't you? But what does believing them look like? Remember, we started today, and if you didn't hear us, you can go back later and listen to that, because we record in two parts, and it'll be posted online, and you can listen to it, and you can share it with your friends, whatever. If there's something that the Lord uses us here today to say that ministers to you, share that. Please share that with your friends. It may be the word, or you just take it yourself. Write yourself out a note, and you go share it with your friends. Go, you know what I heard? You know, I heard we don't have to let our hearts be troubled. You know, troubling things are going to come. We don't have to let our hearts be troubled. Jesus told his disciples not to be troubled. And then he told them how to do it. He said, just trust God. You trust God, trust in me. It's a trust issue. Being troubled is a trust issue. And so here we go to Psalm 146, and we read where he says, don't put your trust in princes or in government or in people. In mortal men who cannot save, that is Psalm 146 and verse 2, 3, don't put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. Now, I'm just going to say this, and I'm not saying this to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm saying this because I want to bring about a point. And if you have ears to hear it, this can make all the difference in your life. This could save your life. In 26 years of pastoring and 30 years in the ministry, you're close to it. I've stood in faith with many a person about various different things, about their marriage being saved, about their bodies being healed, about loved ones being saved, all kinds of things, right? You know, normal things that people will come to their pastor about. So, you know, this loved one of mine, they're alcoholic, whatever, and they need deliverance. Or, you know, we've got this situation going on, and we're believing God for physical healing. Or, you know, I've got this situation going on, we're believing God for a financial breakthrough. And to be perfectly honest, we don't always get the results we want to get. I'm just being straight up honest. That's the truth. That is not the truth, that's a truth. But it's never, ever, I just want to point this out, it's never, ever because God's promises are not true. It's never because God's promises don't work. It's never because God promised it to one person and won't give it to another. That would make God, let's just be honest, it would make God unjust. If he'll heal Bob, but he won't heal Bill, then God is unjust. And I want to say to you, friend, don't you ever entertain a thought that God is not a just God, a merciful God, a gracious God, a loving God. He loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Why a cross? We know, don't we, Monica? We've been hearing about it in church. Jesus died on the cross. They tried to stone him to death when he was on the earth. They couldn't do it. They tried to throw him off a cliff. They couldn't do it. The devil tried to drown him with a supernatural storm when he was in a boat. The disciples couldn't do it. But when it came time, Jesus surrendered himself to be crucified. Why? Oh, my gosh, crucifixion. Why? Because it is written in Hebrews, it is written in Galatians chapter 3, cursed is he who is hung on a tree. And it says, and Jesus became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. That's Galatians 3:13 that I'm quoting to you. I'm quoting it because we want to stay here in Psalms 146, and I want to make a point. Do not put your trust in princes, mortal men who cannot save. Your doctor, as wonderful as doctors are, they are. I'm just speaking as a generalization. I believe that the reason why most people go into the medical industry, it's not just for money, because, I mean, there are ways you can make more money with less stress. Most doctors, I mean, they would probably be the first ones to tell you this. They're overworked and stressed because they care about their patients. I mean, they do. They care. They have to care. And they care. And when their patients are suffering, there's a certain part of limbs suffering with them. And, I mean, it's just not – no one would choose that without occupation unless they cared about people. They care, and if it was up to them, if they had the power to do it, I guarantee you this. I mean, they'd still send you a bill, but they'd heal you. I mean, you'd go into the doctor's office, and you might have some incurable thing, and if that doctor had the ability to, don't you think that, I mean, he would just make it go away? You'd think so. Why would you? Well, he's a good man, Dr. So-and-so. He's a good man. He'd do everything he can for you. Right, exactly. But he's a man. And as a man, he's limited. There are things that God has given doctors, nurses, medical programs. There are things that God has given to them that they can do for you that can help you to receive a natural healing. But sometimes we need a supernatural healing. A situation warrants and merits that we must have something beyond the natural. Here's been my experience. I've seen it many, many, many times where people are praying as if God is their only hope. When they talk to me as a minister of the gospel, when they talk to their brothers and sisters in Christ, they're talking as if God is their only hope. But then maybe they'll hear of a new treatment, a new this, a new that. And man, their countenance will just burst up. I mean, just with enthusiasm. Because Dr. Such and Such said I could get in his program. And then if that program, something happens, I can't get in that program, their countenance just bottoms out. I've seen it, and I'm not faulting anyone about it. But I want you to be honest with yourself. It don't matter. You can lie to me all day. I probably won't know the difference. But I want you to be honest, and I want me to be honest with myself. We've got to be honest. If we're going to receive the promises of God, the one thing, and we're not receiving them, something's wrong, and it ain't God. Amen. Well, where does that leave the fault? It leaves the fault with me. If I'm not receiving the promises of God, it's not God that's holding it back. Either the enemy has got a foothold in my life somewhere, and he's holding it back, or I'm holding it back. That's only three possible choices, because God is faithful. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that I can hold it back is this. I say that I'm trusting God, but the reality is I'm trusting in people. You know, I'm looking to my job as my source. I'm looking to the government to do this. I'm looking to the doctor to do this. I'm looking to whatever, you know. We've got to remember that God is our hope. Now watch this. Don't put your trust in princes, mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, he reminds us, when their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Verse 5, 146, Psalm 146, 5, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord. Hope. Help and hope. My help is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. I want you to, you might hold your place there. I want to take you over to the book of Isaiah, which is a little bit toward the back of your Bible from where we're at in Psalms. But Isaiah chapter 40, this is a familiar passage we're going to look at here. You've probably heard it, but maybe you haven't heard it with your new ears. Maybe you got some new ears today. I don't know. Isaiah 40, 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. It's interesting that he starts that out by, do you not know? Have you not heard? Or let me add one more to that. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Did you forget?
Come on.
Did you forget? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the heaven and earth. He does not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. In other words, you never reach the bottom of it. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even young men or youth grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, come on, those whose earnest expectation of good, that's what hope means. We don't use the word hope that, do we? We're like, well, I hope so. You know, are you gonna really follow your diet plan you started the other day and lose some weight and be healthier? Oh, I hope so. That's not the right way to use the word hope. Not the biblical word hope. I guess it's appropriate to say, you know. But the biblical word hope is not a I wishy-washy hope so. The biblical word hope means I am certain of it and I fully expect it. Let me quote from the New Testament. Now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. Those are spiritual forces. Those are not emotions. They're spiritual forces: faith, hope, and love. Of course, the greatest of these is love. Why? Because faith worketh by love, and hope is the anchor of faith. So, the blueprint, you might say. So here in Isaiah, he says, do you not know? Have you not heard? I'm going to add again, do you forget? God's the one that created everything. He's the one that has all the understanding. And he gives strength to weary and increases the power of the weak. Are you weary or weak today? Are you going through a trial and feel like I don't know how I'm going to get through this? Well, this is a word for you then. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. I feel weak today. Well, he'll increase your power then. And he reminds us that even young men, even youth grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those that hope or wait upon, the King James says, wait upon the Lord, will renew their strength. Renew their strength. Do you need a renewal today? Do you need a physical renewal? Do you need a spiritual renewal? Do you need a mental renewal today? Do you need to get stronger in your mind, stronger in your spirit, stronger in your body? Well, the way to have a renewal is through God, not through people, through God. He said, they'll renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles and run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful promise of God. It's not to everybody, though. It's an exclusive promise. You have to qualify for it. Oh, shucks. No, don't. Oh, shucks. Because the only thing to qualify for it is the two things, really. You need to remember who God is. And then you need to put your hope in him. It's not really that difficult. Take your hope off of whatever your hope's on. If it's on anything but God, take it off of that and put it on God. I'm not saying God won't use medical people, doctors. God won't use your job to provide for your financial needs. I'm not saying God won't do that. But what if you go in tomorrow and there is no job? Did you lose your source or did you just lose your job? I remember when my job quit me, I lost my job. I didn't lose my source. you know. Some people wouldn't know what to do if their doctor retired. Whoop. Some people wouldn't know what to do if their banker, you know, if they closed up the bank. I don't know. How would I get through? I mean, I got to have a loan. I know. The truth will set you free, but before it does, it stings a little bit. Back in Psalms again, we were in 145, and I want to, once again, don't put your trust in princes and mortal men that cannot save. If the doctor could save you, he would. But he can't. He's just a man. He'd be the first, or woman. They'll be the first to tell you that. Unless you got the wrong doctor. If you're going to a doctor that does not acknowledge Jesus, I would strongly suggest you find a new doctor. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if my doctor acknowledges Jesus. Are you kidding me? You don't know if your doctor's a Christian and you trust them with your life? You not want to rethink that. I don't care if I'm going to a doctor. If I was going to a doctor and his name was Muhammad Abdul, I am not going to take for granted what he believes. I would definitely have to talk to that one about what he believes. You see, why are you prejudiced against people who are not Christians? No, but I can read my Bible, and my Bible tells me this, that all they that are not born again are led about by the prince of the power of the air. And those that are born again are led by the Spirit of God. Now, which one of those two do you want holding a scalpel by your heart? Prince of the power of the air happens to hate me personally because I have led many people to the Lord. And see, well, what's that got to do with it? I forgot nothing. He hates me because I'm a child of God. He hates me because I'm created in the image of God. He hates me because Jesus loved me so much that he died for me when I was still a sinner. You're qualified for that too. Satan hates you because God loves you. So don't let somebody who, they're unaware of it. I'm not saying they're like devil worshipers. But if I'm trusting in God, I want to make sure that I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in God to give me everything I need. I'm trusting God every step of the way. I'm not saying that you don't take medical treatment. I'm not saying you refuse medical treatments. I'm not saying that at all. Not at all. Did you hear me? I did not say that you should also refuse medical treatments. But don't trust the treatment. Don't trust the doctor. Trust Jesus. Amen. So don't put your trust in mortals because they're not God. Ultimately, we've got to trust God. And if I'm walking around troubled, I'm not trusting God. And one minute I'm trusting God because of this situation. No. Well, it's just, there shouldn't be a because. It's just I'm trusting God. I'm trusting him when my nose is stopped up, and I'm trusting him when it's not. I'm trusting him when my body feels great. I'm trusting him when it's not. You know, it's like I'm trusting him. He's faithful. You look right across the page in my Bible. It's literally right across the page, Psalm 145, verse 13. Psalm 145, 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all that he has made. If you didn't have nothing else in your whole Bible but that little bitty verse, you'd know that God is a king. God has dominion. His dominion dominates through all generations. He's faithful to everything he promises, and he loves you. That's a lot in that little bitty segment, ain't it? Psalm 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. And the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all that he has made. Now, I got to hurry because I want to put a cap on this before we go. 2 Corinthians, real quickly. 2 Corinthians 1:20. When you come in here to the Promise Center, you walk into the main room there, you look up on the wall and see this verse. It's 120. For no matter how many promises God has made, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Who speaks the amen to what God has to say, what God promises? Does he just speak that? He says, I'll heal you, amen, it is so. No, he says, I have healed you, I will heal you, you are healed. And we say, what? Amen, it is so, and we appropriate it by that, by our agreement. Amen means I'm in agreement. If I'm in agreement, I walk like I'm in agreement. I talk like I'm in agreement. I act like I'm in agreement. If I believe it, I act like I believe it. I want to turn quickly to Hebrews 6:12, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 3, and I'm going to be done in just a couple of minutes. I don't know exactly what time we started this morning. We usually start a minute or two late, so. But I promise we're not going to be another hour. We could be, but I don't think we have another hour. I can study the Word of God from now until Jesus comes. I don't get tired of it. Hebrews 6:12, watch this. Maybe you got there before me. I'll watch you. Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised. Through faith and patience. Well, don't get this idea of patience. Patience is not sitting in a lawn chair waiting for God to do it all. The word patience means perseverance. And it means persistence. It means tenacity. You know, Neva don't know anything about that. She's one of the most tenacious, persistent people that I've met. When a goal is set in front of her, she will just literally do everything in her ability and power to accomplish that goal. And just refuse to give up. She doesn't take no as a no. She takes no as a next step to the yes. Amen. You're going to be in sales. You better learn that. No is not no. No is one step closer to the big old yes. Hallelujah. But we don't take no for an answer. From God, remember the promises? All the promises of God are yes. So there is no no. Well, if there's no no in God's promises, then how come sometimes we don't receive them? Because we don't amen the promises with our actions, with our life, with our words. We may say amen, but we don't live the amen. We need to live the amen. We need to live the amen to the promises of God. He said, don't become lazy. Boy, right there is a key I could go an hour on. It takes some work. You're going to have to get in the Word. You're going to have to speak the Word. You're going to have to read the Word. You're going to have to know the Word. Use the Word in your prayer life. You can't just one time, you know, went up, the preacher prayed for me, and now I'll just relax and sit here until it happens. You might be sitting a while. Because it's persistent faith that acquires the promises. Now, back to Hebrews 3, and I promise we'll stop with this. I could go on, but we'll stop with this. In Hebrews 3, oh, mercy. Let's look at the last verse of Hebrews 3. It's talking about the children of Israel. You go back and read what's in front of it if you'd like. But in 3:19, it says, so we see that they, the children of Israel, were not able to enter in because of their unbelief. Talk about entering into the promised land. Remember, God brought the whole nation of Israel out of Egypt. The whole nation crossed the Red Sea, and the whole nation of them went into the wilderness, and then he told the whole nation of them, I have given you this land, go up and possess it. And they went and spied it out, and they come back like, oh, we can't go up there. There's giants up there. We'll get slaughtered. And they refused to trust God. They refused to believe what God said. God said, I have given you this land. They didn't take it that way. They said, it looks to us like there's giants in that land. So instead of trusting in God, they trusted in their senses. Now, God called that unbelief. Unbelief. Look up to verse 12 of chapter 3. See to it, brothers, Christians, none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. He calls it a sinful condition to have an unbelieving heart. Well, I doubt what God says. It's not just, you know, God doesn't just go, well, I wish you believed me. No, it's a lot more personal than that. Then you put yourself in a position you don't want to be in. If you're struggling to agree with the Word of God because of your physical senses, then you're just going to have to decide that my physical senses can say whatever they want to say. But in my spirit, I agree with God. And if I slip and I say something out of my mouth that disagrees with what God says, I'll quick as I can catch myself, I'm going to grab them words and I'm going to throw them to the ground and stomp on them and say, I would take that back. I'll say God is true and let every man be a liar, including me. If I say anything that contradicts what God's word says, I'll quote from Romans chapter 3, let God be true and let every man be a liar. So last thing, chapter 4, verse 2. We also have had the gospel preached to us just like they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them. Why? Because they did not combine it with faith. That was chapter 4, verse 2.
Hebrews
4, 2. Israel, it's talking about the children of Israel. It goes, they had the good news preached to them. Here's the land. It's all yours. He goes, but they didn't combine it with faith. It's not just the fact that God promised it that makes it happen. Therefore, our title today, Receiving the Promises. You've got to receive them. You've got to take possession of them. How do I do it? By persistent faith. Trust it. Simply put, believe God. Take him at his word. Act like the Bible's true. You want to break it down to the real simple? Act like the Bible's true. When you read it in the Bible, act like it's true. And go around talking like it's true. Because one of the biggest actions we do is with our mouth. So go around talking like it's true. I know we could go on and on. We don't have time for that. But I want to tell you this. God loves you. And he didn't give us these promises for no reason. If he didn't want us healed, he didn't have to put it in there, did he? He did not. Nobody twisted God's arm and made him put all the wonderful promises he put in the Word. Did he have to promise to provide for us? No, he did not. He didn't even have to promise to forgive us, but he gave us all those promises because he loves us, and he wants us to have these promises, and he gave us the way to have them. And I guarantee you this, it grieves God when we don't receive the promises because he put them out there so that we could have them. Imagine buying gifts for all your kids and your grandkids and your friends, people you love, and you buy them a gift and you set it out there and you know it's exactly what, not only what they want, but it's exactly what they need. And some of them, maybe it's like, this is the thing that will change your life forever. This is the thing that will save your life. You know, maybe they, you imagine that they've got something and you've got the cure and it's a gift and you set it right in front of them and they won't receive it. Maybe they don't feel worthy. Wouldn't that tear you up? If they wouldn't receive it simply because they didn't feel worthy of it, it cost you too much. I could never take that. It would tear you up. I promise you this. God is torn up in his heart when we don't receive his promises. So today, let's repent. Let's turn our minds the other way. Let's turn around. That's what repent means. Let's turn around and say, God, say this out loud. Father God, if there's anything that you've promised that I'm not walking in, that I've not received, I turn my heart to trust you. Help me, Father, to get rid of any doubt, to get rid of any unbelief. I take back any word that I've spoken against your word. When I disagreed with you in my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my words, I repent. I'm sorry. I ask your forgiveness for unbelief. And I pray, God, that you'd help me today to take you at your word, to trust in you, and to not let my heart be troubled. I ask this grace. I need your grace. I receive your grace and mercy in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you today. We want to hear about your testimonies. Amen.
Do we have time?
Let's have it.
Last month, I wasn't feeling good.
Yeah.
And I had gotten a not so feel good. And I, you know, trusting God and, you know, just believing in his word. And then I made a promise to my mom.
Yeah.
That if I wasn't feeling better by Monday, I would make an appointment and I would go.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I wasn't feeling 100%.
Right.
So I kept the promise that I made to my mom. Uh-huh. I won't make promises. Number one. So I went to the doctor, and I got tested for the first time.
Yeah.
And the doctor said that I had COVID and the flu type B,
mm-hmm.
which I'm kind of ignorant to the types.
Yeah.
Flu, you know.
Yeah.
And he come in and he says, well, Monica, you got that COVID. And I'm thinking I rebuked that.
Yeah.
That doesn't belong to me.
That's right.
That's not part of my blessing. That sounds like a curse, and I'm a born-again child of God, so that's not mine.
Amen.
And then he says, I got bad news for you. And I'm kind of looked at him like, huh?
Say what?
You got bad news. You just told me I got that COVID.
And then I got bad news.
Oh. But I got bad news. He said, you got that flu type B. And I'm like, oh, well, that's been around for a long time. God's gotten me through that before.
Yeah.
And then he says, I want you to do the infusion. And so it got scheduled. And I went home.
Yeah.
I got a couple inhalers because years ago I was diagnosed with COPD.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a curse. It's not a blessing. It's Amen. Not mine.
Amen.
It doesn't line up with my word.
That's right.
With the word of God.
You redeemed from your past. Amen.
Yes. And so I went home, and I just had this uneasiness inside. And so I began to pour it out to the Lord and just ask him, you know, Lord, I don't know what to think about all this. I don't feel good about all this.
Yeah.
I need you to help me, Lord. I need to know, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Wednesday morning, I was scheduled to have the infusion at 11 o'clock Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning, I get up and I go have coffee. I go make me a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And as I'm standing there in my kitchen, I don't know how to explain it, but I felt in my chest.
Yeah.
And then there was a white light. And in that moment, I heard, you are healed. And the feeling of my lungs being squeezed, released.
Yeah.
And I just started, thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. And that was just so awesome.
Amen.
To be relieved.
So you heard him say.
Yes.
And how does faith come?
By hearing.
By hearing. And he met you in your home. You were crying out to him. He met you at home. You didn't even have to. You weren't. God can operate in your home, not just at church. He does operate at church.
And I'm going to be really honest. It was a struggle for a few days.
Yeah.
With 102 fever. And the feeling.
Uh-huh.
The feeling of not being able to breathe.
Yeah.
And laying in bed. Yeah. And then I heard, as I'm laying there, I heard, why are you tolerating this?
You why? Heard. Faith comes by what? Hearing. You heard.
Why are you tolerating this? So I jumped out of my bed.
Uh-huh.
And I grabbed my Bible. And I started walking around my house declaring.
Yeah.
And in declaring, no, no. And I said, devil, I don't know how you got in here,
yeah,
but you're leaving today. You're leaving.
You served eviction notice papers on it right out of the book.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And you know, the key to all that, you can say, you hear Monica's testimony. Oh, God, I wish, maybe if I'll go have a cup of coffee in my kitchen, Jesus will heal me. It's not the coffee, and it's not the kitchen, and it's not that. It's just, it's that moment. If you keep your heart turned toward him, she was willing to do what was scheduled to do, but she was longing for God to do it. And just the whole key to the whole thing is hearing, being open to that encounter with Jesus and letting him supernaturally speak into your spirit so that that word becomes alive in you and accomplishes what God wants to do. So you didn't have to have the infusion?
No.
And you got past it. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen.
She
received the promise.
He is. I made a choice when I started coming back to church.
Yeah.
To start reading his word and not just read it,
yeah,
like it's some book.
Right.
To believe.
Yeah.
And not just believe every word.
Right.
That I read.
Yeah.
But to do my absolute best to apply it.
Yeah. Amen.
Apply it to me, to my life.
Right.
And he is so faithful.
Amen.
And full of mercy and grace. Right.
He is faithful.
Amen, amen.
He's faithful. And it doesn't bother him what church you go to. Or if you're listening and you say, I've never even been to a church, that does not stop the faithfulness of God. I don't go to church to acquire things from God. I go to church because God has poured his love into my life, and I can't think of a better response than to gather together with his people to love on him. You know, so get together with God's people, but realize this today. If you're listening to this, you say, I need a miracle. God's got a miracle with your name on it.
Amen.
Everything God does is a miracle.
Yes.
And he would love for you to have one today. Will you receive it? Just open yourself up to receive it. Because Jesus paid for it. It's already yours. And he wants you to have it.
Amen.
Amen.
If you do not have a home church, I want to personally invite you to come visit my home church and meet my spirit parents. Pastors Dwight and Sharon Shepherd. I don't know our address. I just know it's by the football field, y'all.
Yeah, 109 West Webb Street. But, and you know there are good churches, the other pastors, yes, that come in here and take their time to minister. Listen, you pray. You pray and ask God where he wants you to go. You don't go somewhere just because you know someone. Maybe go try it out. You know, you've heard Monica's testimony. You've heard Diva talk about it. You know, you're certainly welcome to come. But God has a home church for you wherever that church is. You find it by praying,
yes,
and get in there and get plugged in and realize this. You're not just going to just for what you can receive. But like we had someone healed in our church a week ago by one of our other members just being there and just getting up and coming over and just loving on them, hugging her neck. And I said, well, if that one member hadn't been there that day, that empty chair wouldn't have gone over there and hugged that lady's neck. And because they hugged each other, their love was released. And love, God is love. And it just helped a sister in the Lord receive healing. And I just want to encourage you, go not just to your church to receive, but go to your church to be a blessing. Amen.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And it is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, for Miss Neva Pyatt, and from Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.